Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome in. It's our only Sports Open Line this week where we go a full 2 hours. It might be our only Sports Open Line, period, with them. We didn't have the last couple nights, and they're going to be out east over the next couple days. The Cardinals are. So here we are. We've got 2 hours today, and we'll take you through till 8 o'clock, and then Jen Cease will take over at 8 o'clock for a city spotlight tonight, talking all things city soccer. She'll join us towards the end of the 7 o'clock hour to tell us what's going on with her show. We've got a jam-packed show today. We'll talk a fair amount of Cardinals, give you an opportunity to chime in on them probably just after the 7 o'clock news. Always try to do that on days that we don't really do the full extra inning show. Try to give you an opportunity here on Sports Open Line. So we'll probably open up the phones for you just after the 7 o'clock hour. Get your thoughts on where the Cardinals are at. I thought that was a good win for them today. That was a really good win. 4-1 over Houston. Steven Matz limited the damage in the first inning. The Cardinals kind of wait for an opportunity to strike. They get it in the fifth inning, which was a really fun inning with Victor Scott II putting down a bunt and getting a single out of it. Thomas Ajayi, just a good piece of hitting going the other way. And then Lars Nootbaar hitting a home run. Thomas Ajayi would follow that up with an RBI in the sixth inning as well. So he had a big game today. Sajacy's now hitting .455. Steven Matz looked good. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits. They were still ramping him up, so he was on a pitch count. His pitch count going in was supposed to be like 65. They let him go to 71. He looked really good. He looked very comfortable. It was not stressful innings for him. So that was a good win, good series win, good homestand. They go 4-2 on this homestand. They're back to .500. They're playing an entertaining brand of baseball right now. I think that's the number one thing. I hope to see more people. But today's crowd was awesome, by the way, and I know a lot of it had to do with it was like a weather day or whatever. A lot of kids were in attendance, which was great. But if you're not paying attention, this is a really fun team to watch play. Some really interesting players, and I do hope that more and more fans take notice of that and see how hard they're playing and the style of baseball that's being played, and support them a little bit more in terms of going to the ballpark, because it's a really entertaining product here through the first few weeks or so of the season. Here's what we've got coming up on the show. We've got a bunch of guests today. We only have one show this week, so we got a bunch of people we want to talk to. Bernie Mikulas is going to join us in about 10 minutes, our weekly conversation with him. We'll talk with Kevin Egan at about 6:35. He is one of the broadcasters with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. We'll talk all things City SC soccer. As Hey, they scored a goal this past weekend, but they still don't get a win. That is a struggling unit for sure. There was some controversy that as well, goal being taken away on an offside. So we'll talk all things City SC with him. Our weekly conversation with a Battlehawk will take place today. Chris Payton Jones, he's a cornerback for the Battlehawks. Really interesting dude. He's a content creator, does a lot of video work on his social media. So we'll talk with him, and then Luke Korak is going to join us about 7:35 to talk about your St. Louis Blues, who are playoff bound. How much fun was that last night? That was, yeah, I was at the ballpark, but had an eye on the Blues game throughout, and it was really cool what the Cardinals were doing. Every time the Blues scored a goal, next time that they went to a half inning break, they would put up the goal up on the big screen at Busch Stadium, and obviously a big round of applause. Oh man, this Blues team seems special, and it was really good to see because they'd gone through a little bit of a lull. They'd lost a few games in a row coming off that long winning streak. I wasn't overly worried about it. Like I said, it's a very normal thing in sports for a team to go on a long winning streak, lose for that first time, kind of exhale, have a couple losses in a row, 2-3 losses before they lock back in. But obviously and clearly, last night was as close to a must win as you will ever have without not technically being a must win, because Calgary still could have lost a couple games and they could have backed their way into the playoffs. But basically, last night, must win for the St. Louis Blues. And not only did they win, they came out and they absolutely dominated the Utah Hockey Club. And that was great to see. They jumped out from the beginning. They scored a bunch of early goals, 4 goals in the first period. They basically let Utah know that this was not going to be a game, and they won by a 6-1 score. Really great to see Jimmy Snuggerud score a goal last night. He looks good. He looks really good. He's just fit in. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a guy who's playing at an all-star level or he's going to be this huge difference maker in the postseason or anything like that. But it's almost more a compliment to him that a guy who was playing college hockey about a week and a half ago is walking in, being placed on, you know, a top 2 line with a team head to the playoffs. And he's just fit in so well. And he's played on 3 different lines already. They had him plugged in with Shin and Kyrou. It certainly worked out well. And we'll see what happens from an injury standpoint. But it certainly doesn't seem like Dylan Holloway is going to be returning to this team anytime soon. It feels like the playoffs are likely to get started without him available. I hope I'm wrong on that. Nothing has been officially said. But just you kind of read between the lines on everything, and it feels like the timeline for Holloway is something that it's going to be a little while till we possibly see him back on the ice. So Snuggerud able to step in, and he's not replacing Holloway by any stretch of the mind. Holloway's been so good this year. But at least for him to like step in and be a competent, qualified guy who sort of just fits in with what they're doing, it's all really good. So we've got a lot to talk about today. If you want to join the program, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a message. If you are watching on the video stream, to call or text, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. And we will open up the phone lines, I think, after the 7 o'clock news for you to give your thoughts on the Cardinals. Do what we normally do during the extra inning show. If you want to tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. And if you are listening, or if you are watching, I should say, on our video streams, maybe it's on YouTube, maybe it's on Twitter, maybe it's on Facebook, wherever you might be, you can just leave a comment like Lauren has done. Hello to Lauren. And you leave a comment, and we will certainly take a look at those as we go through the program this evening. We take you until 8 o'clock tonight. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in just a moment or so. We'll get his thoughts on the Cardinals. We'll get his thoughts on the Blues. That's all coming up as we roll on after this. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Back at it on KMOX, we are efforting Bernie Miklas. Hopefully he joins us in the next moment or so as we'll talk Cardinals baseball and Blues hockey with him. We've got him right now. Bernie's conversations with Bernie always being brought to you by the wonderful folks over at Saliga Heating and Cooling. Bernie, thanks for the time. How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure to work with you again. So I'm doing good. The Cardinals has a very nice homestand for them. And I thought it was really important the way they won both of those game threes in this against the Phillies and then the Astros, because it made a huge difference in what their record looks like. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. Bernie, I don't know about you. I loved the inning where they scored the three runs today, not just because of the Nootbaar home run, but the way that inning developed, where you get the bunt single out of Victor Scott, and then Sejacy comes up and just kind of goes with a pitch the other way and drops one into right field, and then Nootbaar has the opportunity. Like, it's a very diverse kind of way of doing things, and that's what the Cardinals have shown. When they can score runs, they can score it in different kind of ways.
No doubt about it. And I think the quality of bats is really high, and it's not going to always be that way. And like I thought last night against Hunter Brown, who's a real horse. I mean, the guy's really, really good, and he had that sinker ball work. And sometimes I had to sort of condition myself to realize, sometimes the guy on the other side just pitches a hell of a game, just the way the Cardinals have starters who will pitch great. You know, it doesn't mean that the hitters were like a complete failure. They were a joke. The old saying, those guys are made by the other team. You know, they're capable of being good. So I didn't think the Cardinals could have done much with Hunter Brown, but I mean, I just like the way they were grinding today until they got the breakthrough, and also making some stuff happen, as you pointed out.
Steven Matz today, and they were going to limit him on his pitch count, and that's fine. He's still ramping up after being in the bullpen, but he limits the damage in the first inning where he gives up those first couple hits. He only gives up one. Big difference between giving up one and two in that first inning in terms of setting a tone. And then he locks in. He retires 15 in a row. Obviously, the question with him has always been health, but that's a really good first start for him.
I was really impressed by it. I mean, he was in real control. Like you said, he made an escape in that early threat. But I mean, he pitches to 18 batters today, and this is his first start in a long time. He pitches to 18 batters, and two of them reach base. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a walk. It was a clean start. He had five strikeouts, which is good because he pitched five innings. So I don't think that any of us who have a reasonable mind could have expected him to do better, because he did great today. And of course, it's always going to be a test of endurance and durability. But I'm ready to turn the page and just see what he does in 2025. We all know about the previous 3 years. There's nothing more to say about it. It was what it was. But I'm really curious to see if this is the year he can kind of put it together. And for his sake, I hope so. People don't understand about him. He didn't want to get hurt. In fact, I think he's felt a little guilty about it. He wants to be good. He wants to be worth the investment. And I think he's been an excellent teammate. And I think, Steven Matz wants to come through for the Cardinals. Now, if he doesn't perform well, his attitude is not right. But I'm just saying, I try to separate the performer from the actual human being. And I'm on a fan level, I'm hoping Steven Matz has a good year.
All right, so this question has a little bit of nuance to it, because I'm well aware of the fact that some of these gaudy numbers here in the early going, that they're not sustainable. Thomas Sejacy isn't hitting .455. Brendan Donovan probably isn't going to hit close to .400 this year. Nolan Arenado is not going to have an OPS close to 1,000. Like, I get that, but those numbers are good. Of maybe the unexpected offensive numbers, even if they don't stay where they're at right now, is there any individual performance right now that you think is most sustainable offensively from a single guy?
Well, that's a great question, and you're right to be skeptical, but just to understand, over a long season, man, hitters go up and down, and usually when a guy starts off terribly, like Mason Wynn, Wilson Contreras, I actually never freak out about that, because history tells me, watching a lot of baseball for a long time tells me, if a guy starts off poorly, chances are really good he's going to hit very well after that. Same if a guy starts out hot. You can't expect him to keep that up. I'm not answering your question directly, because I haven't had time to like think about individual players, but I see.
I think we lost Bernie. We lost Bernie. We'll try to get Bernie back here in just a moment. He was about to say something really good too. He was leading into it. Like that's I haven't known Bernie that long. It's really, we've kind of developed a relationship, a friendship since he first started joining us here on KMOX. But I you can just tell sometimes when he's about to go into something really, really good. So hopefully we can get Bernie back here in the next moment or so, because I want to ask him about the Blues too. Like we're going to pivot the conversation when we get back to the Blues, because you think about great St. Louis sports stories in recent history for the Blues to be where they're at, and not just this year, but in recent years, just being a, man, the Blues were boring. Can we just say it? The Blues were a boring, non-compelling team for the last couple years. I've said this before. The last time the Blues were really interesting was that year they were in the playoffs and they lost to Colorado, and Bennington, you know, got injured in that Colorado series, and felt like if he wouldn't have gotten injured, they had a chance to pull the upset. They have been boring since then until Jim Montgomery took over. And then for them to do what they're doing now has been really, really good. So do we have Bernie back? Are we're still working on that? All right. Bernie, are you there? Do we have you?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what happened.
You know,
I was cut off. I was cut off. I figured you just didn't like what I was saying, so you dumped me. That's all right.
I could tell you were going into something really good there. But before we do let you go, I do want to ask you about the Blues, because not that their season is over, but now that the regular season is over, we can step back and just really acknowledge them for an amazing run and amazing turnaround this year to get to the playoffs.
I mean, fabulous. You know, they were the sixth worst team in the league when Montgomery took over. During his 60 games as a coach, they finished eighth overall in the NHL because they had some things to work out. I mean, they had to put in a new system of forechecking, some other things. They also had to come together as a team. So from February 8th until the end of the season, they were the best team in the league. And they also were scoring a ridiculous percentage of the 5-on-5 goals. And I tell you what, I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit. Plus, it's a fun team with all these young guys, plus the veterans. It's a great mix. And Montgomery is a great coach. But I wanted to throw this out there, too. I know Winnipeg is very, very good. They were the best team in terms of points and points percentage this season. But Montgomery coached this team for 60 regular season games. Since when Montgomery came to coach, Winnipeg also had 60 games left in the season. So they both have had 60 games since Monty became the Blues coach. During that time, Winnipeg only had three more points than the Blues. Hmm. And the other thing is that two of the three best teams in the league at 5-on-5 play over these 60 games, it's virtually even with Winnipeg and St. Louis in terms of the goals shared 5-on-5. And people say, well, you know, Winnipeg beat them 3 out of 4. That's misleading. First of all, Montgomery wasn't the coach for the first game. The second game, the Blues won in Winnipeg impressively. The third game went to a shootout. And then the last game, which was up in Winnipeg, it was a 2-1 game and Winnipeg got an empty netter. The point I'm making with Montgomery as the coach, they played Winnipeg very strong straight up. They really did. So I think this one's going to be a good battle. I can't wait for it to start, because this team is so much fun to watch.
Is it a series that's won 5-on-5? That if the Blues want to win this series, they've got to go dominate 5-on-5, as they've been so good 5-on-5 since Montgomery's taken over?
Well, they're going to have to hold their own on 5-on-5, because both of these teams are similar in that they have been like steamrolling teams at 5-on-5. So even if the Blues, hold their own, or they have a slight advantage, or even if they're played to kind of a draw, so to speak, I think that's okay, because Winnipeg has been able to take 5-on-5 play and just hammer people with it. But now they're going to go up against a Blues team that does the same thing. So I love the matchup. I really do. It comes down to goaltending. And, you know, Bennington beat Hellebuck in the Four Nations final. You know, so, and, you know, big game Bennington, you never count him out. This is going to be a really good series.
It is.
Really colorful.
Yeah, it's not the normal 1-8 matchup that you're used to. It's going to be it's going to be fun.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you until 8 o'clock today. We've got a full program because the Cardinals played day baseball today. They get back at tomorrow when they are in New York, and they are going to match up against the Mets for a four-game series. City SC, they get back at it on Saturday. They're going to be at home as they are at Energizer Park. They'll match up against Vancouver. They scored a goal this past weekend against Columbus, so that was good to see, but it did not result in a victory. They ended up losing by a 2-1 score. They also had a goal that was disallowed on a somewhat controversial offsides. So there's a lot to talk about with this team, and we're very happy to welcome on to the program right now. He is a studio host with MLS Season Pass and Apple TV as we welcome on to the show. A guy that you can follow on Twitter at Kev_EGAN. It is at Kevin Egan. Kevin, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks. What a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. So was there progress this past week for City SC that they score a goal? It could have easily been 2-2 if not for, again, that offsides call that I mentioned. Or is it still that this is really a team that's very much a struggling unit at the moment?
Yeah, you know, I host MLS Wrap-Up on Sunday nights after all the weekend games are done. And I came to the analysts this weekend with the question, you know, I put it to them, you know, saying that if you just simply look at stats or you simply look at the score, you're going to think it's woeful, all doom and gloom for St. Louis. But if you watch the game, you thought anything but that, especially the last 25 minutes. And I really want to focus on the last 25 minutes because this team looked like they did in the second half of last season again. There were attack after attack. They had Columbus, you know, on the ropes. And had a goal disallowed, which I felt was ridiculously harsh. I felt it should have stood for João Klaus. So I think there's positive signs from that performance against arguably the best team in Major League Soccer in Columbus Crew that St. Louis will be back to winning ways soon. But it does not get any easier because Vancouver, as you say, come to town this weekend to Energizer Park. And Vancouver have been the best team this season. Out in the Western Conference, they're sitting up at the summit. They've surpassed everyone's expectations so far.
You're making friends in St. Louis because nobody in St. Louis thinks that there was an offside there and that that goal should have been disallowed. And I think there was even more surprise that, you know, the indication was that there was nothing from a video standpoint that said the other direction. I think a lot of people thought that the video did tell the story. So what say you on why that call is allowed to stand?
You know, I think once the referee gives it as offside, I think in that moment it becomes really, really difficult, even with going to the monitor, to look at that and say there's enough evidence to absolutely 100% say that it is onside. And even you know, it looks like it to our eyes, and the angles can play tricks on you as well. We did not have none of us had the look, you know, directly down the line at where Klaus was. So it's a tricky one. I felt as soon as that offside was given, I said to myself, I think it's going to be a really tough one to turn around, even though we're looking at the replay saying it looks on.
Yeah, that's certainly an odd call in that moment. You know, there's a lot being made of this slow start for City, and admittedly, it doesn't look good, but it's also a really, really long season, and they have plenty of time to turn this thing around. At what point in the year do you look at struggling teams and say, okay, this is the point where the turnaround has to start happening?
I think, look, defense first, it seems to have been. Now, Olaf Melberg said to Taylor Twellman, our colleague and St. Louis's own Taylor Twellman at the weekend, that it wasn't just a defense focus in the preseason and the early stages of the season, but it certainly felt that way. Mm-hmm. And Olaf Melberg is a legendary defender, Swedish captain. I'm an Aston Villa fan growing up as a kid, and I idolized Olaf Melberg when he was a player at Aston Villa, Juventus as well. It felt like that, but now they've got to figure out how to score more goals. To have 5 goals at this stage of the season simply isn't good enough. But the chances are there. I mean, Betcher's missed some serious chances for this team this season, both in the last game and in other games as well. And I thought João Klaus looked to be back to the João Klaus we knew and loved from 2023. It looked that way in that game. So I'm hoping that, you know, Hartel, Teuscher, these are good footballers. These are good players that St. Louis have. There's no reason why they can't create more opportunities. I just want to see a more exciting brand of football, because the game that we saw that put all the bums on seats in downtown St. Louis was electric. It was energizing. Excuse the pun for the stadium, but it certainly was. And that's the sort of brand of ball that the St. Louis fans crave and want. And they want to see that back again. And I thought certainly the last 25 minutes against Columbus, it really felt that way again.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing because, I mean, they were leaking oil from a defensive standpoint for much of last season, and that was a problem. Yeah. They were giving up lots of goals, and then Olaf comes in, and, man, this guy, he gets the defense turned around right away, but all of a sudden they become sort of boring. And you mentioned the opportunities and the chances, and you're right in saying that, but it wasn't enough, and there weren't goals, and now you're in the middle of the season, and you're trying to figure this thing out. Look, I'm glad I'm not Olaf Melberg, but it's his job to mm-hmm. figure that out.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think, though, looking at the next few games, as positive as I've been about the last 25 minutes, and I really felt St. Louis deserved something more from the game, the next 4 games are really, really tricky. At home to Vancouver, this is where St. Louis have to turn it around, because then it's back-to-back away days against LAFC and Seattle, 2 really tough places to go and play. And then St. Louis welcomes San Diego to a home game that San Diego thrive in counterattacking soccer. They love playing in transition, and that's a really dangerous game. So I want to see goals this weekend against Vancouver and have this team just absolutely go for it. They got to stop Brian White. Brian White scored 4 goals the last day in the last game, in one single game. St. Louis have 5 goals all season.
That's crazy. So what is the key? Like, when you look ahead to this matchup against Vancouver, it's going to be coming up on Saturday night over at Energizer Park. What are your keys for St. Louis being able to find a way to get back in the win column, a place they have not been in quite some time?
Yeah, I would honestly study the tape from the last 25 minutes against Columbus and solely focus on the positives, because there's been a lot of negatives, you know, of late for St. Louis. Four straight losses for the first time in club history is hard to swallow for this team, especially with a new coach in Olaf Melberg. So focus on the positives, focus on what you did really well, because Vancouver have a lot of similarities, actually, the way they play to Columbus, in the way they try and win the ball back instantly. So breaking the Vancouver press is going to be one really important key. You cannot turn the ball over in costly areas against this Vancouver Whitecaps team. They've got talent throughout. Also, I think St. Louis have to try and win the midfield and be really tough and in your face with this Vancouver side, because they've got a guy called Andres Kubas, who I think is one of the best. He wins the ball back quickly. He finds his teammates quickly. He's just an all-round classy midfielder from Paraguay. And then, obviously, I'm looking at you, Simon Betcher. You've got to take your chances. You've got to find the back of the net and be ruthless and clinical in front of goal, because that's something that St. Louis have been anything but.
Kevin Egan, he's the host of MLS 360, as he mentioned, MLS Wrap-Up. When you're doing the 360 show, how challenging is it to keep an eye on everything that's going on?
It's so much fun. It's wild. We're on air live for 5.5 hours from 7:30 through 1 a.m. Eastern time. And we could have 8 games going on at once, 10 games, 12 games. And it's just insane. You're trying to keep an eye on everything. The producer is always in the ear saying, all right, we've got to keep play alert, ready, go. And I might have to interrupt somebody, say, look, I love you, but we got to go. We're going out to St. Louis or Columbus, wherever. And then we have to break down the goals or the chances with our top-class analysts in studio. And it's just like going to work with some of your best friends every weekend. And we genuinely have such a laugh doing it and such a good time. And hopefully, MLS 360, for anyone that's a fan of the beautiful game but doesn't follow it that closely, it's the sort of show that hopefully you watch it for an hour or two and you come away thinking, wow, I feel like I've learned an awful lot about Major League Soccer and the big storylines.
I know I don't know you that well. I'm going to ask you a personal question, so I apologize in advance. But Scott Hansen, who does the NFL Red Zone stuff, has been asked this question. If nature calls, do you have the opportunity to get out of the studio for a moment or so?
No.
Okay.
No, I really don't. It's tough. It's happened once or twice in the past where I've had to. But I try and, in the same way Scott does, try and time my bathroom breaks throughout the day, you know, don't have too much water in the hour or so leading up to the show, and then really go for it 100 miles an hour. Because I feel like I have to bring the energy as well. Like, you go from listening to commentators back to studio, if they're at a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 on their energy calls in a game, I've got to then meet them. I've got to meet them somewhere, maybe bring it to an 8, and the analysts have to as well. So it's high octane. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully folks can enjoy it and get involved in the conversation.
So you're dehydrated at the end of that show, in all likelihood.
The crazy thing is, toward the end of the show, I don't even need to go. Because it was, you know, it was the same thing. I was the commentator for Monday Night Raw and WWE as well, and that's a three-hour show where you wouldn't have to go. And because it's such a busy show, you just trained your body to be all in on this, you know, for that amount of time, and you're not thinking about going to the toilet.
All right. Good to know.
Riveting radio for everybody in their car listening to my toilet break.
You know what? I promise you that people wanted to know. I'm just asking the question that people want to know, Kevin. I'm just throwing it out there. Kevin Egan, you see him on Apple TV doing the MLS 360 MLS wrap up. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin_Egan. And before you get out of here, of course, we could just give a plug for everything, because we love everything you guys are doing at MLS Season Pass.
Yeah, appreciate you. It's Kev_Egan on Twitter and Instagram, social media, and MLS360, hashtag MLS360. You can tweet in your questions to the crew. You can watch us on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass. We're live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So if you're watching the St. Louis game, let's say, for example, the St. Louis game's at 7:30 your time. So we're on air at 6:30 Central your time. So join us for the first hour before the St. Louis game starts.
Kevin, great stuff. Thank you so much for the time, and hopefully we'll catch up again down the line.
Absolutely, anytime. Appreciate you so much.
You bet. That's Kevin Egan joining us here on the program. Great stuff for him. That's tough work, sitting in the studio for 6 hours and not being allowed to go use the facilities if you need. Is it bad that, like, we did a soccer-heavy interview there for a while, and then I jumped in on his his bathroom tendencies on the program. That's what we got going on here. Taking KMOX to the next level. Hey, we're on FM now. We can have those conversations. We'll get back into the Cardinals. We'll do that next. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, that's when we're going to give you an opportunity to come on in here and talk through what happened with the Cardinals today. For those of you who listen to Cardinals baseball and then listen to the Extra Innings show all the time, you know that on most nights we have an opportunity for your phone calls and your text messages and tweets for weekday day games. We hold that for Sports Open Line. So if you've been holding on to a thought that you've got about the team, we'll welcome those in during the segment after the 7 o'clock hour gets underway. First segment of the 7 o'clock hour after the 7 o'clock news is what I mean to say. And then we've got a couple guests that are lined up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. At 7:20, we're going to talk with Chris Payton-Jones. He is a cornerback for the Battlehawks. They're coming off a tough one this past weekend. What do they need to do to get locked back in? And then Luke Korak is going to join us at 7:35, and we'll talk all things St. Louis Blues with him after they clinched their playoff spot last night, and they're going to match up against Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs. That series is likely to begin. I've seen differing reports with it starting either on Saturday or Sunday. It's always really like I'm somebody that like the logistics of how things work always interest me. When I mail a package somewhere, or if I, you know, send a package via FedEx or UPS, I always enjoy seeing where it like scans in and the logistics of how it gets. So I'm just, that's how my mind works. I like seeing how things work. The logistics of scheduling playoffs is always really interesting to me, because you have to work through events that are already scheduled and in place. Like, there are a couple concerts that are going to be coming up at the Enterprise Center that they have to work through. I talked about this leading up into the Frozen Four. I think it was with Mark Schreiber from the St. Louis Sports Commission when I was talking to him, a couple months ago about just the logistics of like going and getting those events. You have to get Enterprise Center to basically hold dates, and you don't know what's going to happen. So like on Friday, April 25th, Brooks and Dunn will be at the Enterprise Center. And then one day later on Saturday, April 26th, Cat Williams is going to be at the Enterprise Center. So you cannot have a Blues home game on either of those nights. I think I heard somebody say that in Winnipeg, they've got a bunch of events in their building, and they may actually have to cancel a Bachman Turner Overdrive concert as a, to get the hockey game in, which I mean, I don't know. Is Bachman Turner Overdrive, they're not Canadian, are they? I wonder like what their understanding level will be. What if that is a, what if they just love Bachman Turner Overdrive in Winnipeg? What if they love Bachman Turner Overdrive more than they love the Winnipeg Jets, which just seems crazy. And there's a rioting going on in Winnipeg because they need their Bachman Turner Overdrive. I don't think that's actually happening, but yeah, the logistics of that. So I don't know if that's actually getting, again, they haven't announced the schedule yet, but yeah, I heard that Bachman Turner, let's see, let's look at the tour dates for Bachman Turner Overdrive. This is fantastic sports radio here. Before we get out of here, BTO, for the cool kids call them BTO. All right, yeah, they are going to be at Canada Life Center in Winnipeg Saturday, April 19th. So I saw something today that said the Blues were likely to start the series on Saturday. So if that's the case, they can't do it. The BTO concert, that's what I'm going to start calling them, BTO. They're canceled. No Bachman Turner Overdrive. They're going to have to give replacement tickets or give refunds to everybody. I guess they can reschedule. The Bachman Turner Overdrive. You know what? They have more dates than I was about to say. Oh, they got a lot of dates available. Man, they play a lot. Are they yeah, they've got a lot of dates. They're doing a Canadian tour right now. They don't return to the United States until we get to July. That's not too terribly far. If you really want to see Bachman Turner Overdrive, you can go to Harrah's Council Bluffs in Council Bluffs, Iowa. That's just on the other side of the border. Basically, that's like the Omaha area. You can go see Bachman Turner Overdrive in the Omaha area on Friday, July 18th. Looks like that's the next time that they are doing a show in the United States. We will take a break and have more coming up in just a moment. After the 7 o'clock news, we'll talk Cardinals baseball with you right here on KMOX.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. All right, we got to put a bow on the Bachman Turner Overdrive conversation. Yes, you are listening to Sports Open Line. If you weren't with us just moments ago, this might be very confusing for you. The Blues are playing Winnipeg. Bachman Turner Overdrive is scheduled to play where the Jets play on Saturday. That concert may or may not get canceled if they actually start the series on Saturday. If they start the series on Sunday, then the people of Winnipeg can rejoice because they can go to Bachman Turner Overdrive on Saturday and then go watch the Jets play on Sunday, and everything is good in the world. I have no clue if anything's scheduled in that arena on Sunday. So I did not know. First off, I asked the question, and you, the wonderful listeners of KMOX, answered on the text line with a lot of fervor. I should say, many of you, I asked the question into the air, is Bachman Turner Overdrive Canadian? I didn't know. I get the sense that there's a lot of people out there that think I'm dumb, that I didn't know that, yes, they are Canadian. I guess they are very, they're not just Canadian. They are very Canadian. Okay. So new breaking news, Bachman Turner Overdrive is, they are Canadian. Cool. Thank you to everybody who texted in. Is that supposed to be just like common knowledge that they're Canadian? Can you name a Bachman Turner Overdrive song other than Taking Care of Business? I can't. I just can't. It's a good song, good tune. Maybe there's another song, if I heard it, I'd be like, oh, I can recognize that song, but I couldn't be like, oh yeah, that's BTO, as they like to call it. So, first thing, I have learned, I've been taught, I understand now, Bachman Turner Overdrive, they are Canadian. Second thing, if all this very riveting talk about Bachman Turner Overdrive has got you going, man, I really need to go see them live in concert. Man, do I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to Omaha like I was talking about earlier. No. On July 31st, they're going to be down the road in Jefferson City, Missouri, rocking the Capital Region MU Healthcare Amphitheater in Jeff City. They're going to be doing a show there. But you go, but Matt, I like Bachman Turner Overdrive, but I don't really want to drive to Jefferson City. Okay, that's all right. Can you wait another month and a half? Because August 30th, 2025, guess where they're going to be? They're going to be at the Family Arena in St. Charles. So there you go. That's as much Bachman Turner Overdrive conversation as you are ever going to get on Sports Open Line. And please, Lord, let my bosses not be listening to this program right now. Let's jump back into Cardinals baseball. If you want to talk, we are not taking phone calls on Bachman Turner Overdrive. So if that's what you want to discuss, you can put down your phone and let other people get in here. If you do want to talk Cardinals baseball, this is the opportunity to do so. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. For those of you who are listening and watching on the video stream, you can comment on there as well. And we'll try to get to all your kind of post-game comments after the Cardinals do pick up a victory today, knocking off the Houston Astros and winning by a 4-1 score. As it was a good win today over the Houston Astros for sure. And good to see them take a series win in there as well. A couple text messages starting to come into the program. So it says, Steven Matz was solid. Managers have their reasons for everything. It's usually in the best interest for the players. Good game. I think that was just in reference to Matz coming out after five. Yeah, there was no issue. No issue whatsoever with Matz coming out of the game when he did, because he, you know, they're working. They're just trying to ramp him up and get his pitch count up. He's been working out of the bullpen. I appreciate it. And this even goes back to the conversation that we were having about Eric Fetty when he was pulled out of the game with the no-hitter going. And again, my take was always like, I didn't care about the no-hitter. That didn't impact my belief onto whether or not he should be taken out. But I looked at his pitch count. I said, okay, this is a guy who could probably come back in. And then I really appreciated when Oliver Marmol talked about that on the Gas House Gang earlier this week and said they've been, yeah, everybody in the rotation has been given an extra day of rest so far this year. Now they're at a point where there's not as many off days. They've gone to the six-man rotation to keep that extended rest going. The only pitcher who started a game on the standard 4 days rest was Eric Fetty in that game. So as they go through their goals of keeping pitchers healthy, that played into the decision on to take them out. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And it's something that I did not even think about in that moment when I was thinking about whether or not he should come back or not. And I do think the overwhelming thing here is they got to keep their starters as healthy as possible, because there's just not a lot of depth. If you start pulling guys from AAA beyond Michael McGreevy to start games, it's going to be tough for sure. Our guy, Ball Game, he texts into the program and says, tip of the cap, raise. He does this after every win, by the way, which I love. Love Ball Game. Appreciate him. Tip of the cap, raise of the glass goes to Lars Nootbaar. When the game was 1-0, he had two walks in his at-bats. Those kind of at-bats at the top of the order can get the rest of the guys locked in for a good team approach. Then to get rewarded with a pitch to drive with runners on base is the beauty of how the game should flow. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Like, I just, I loved what led to those three runs scoring there. And if you've been listening to the program, I think this is probably the third time I've said this. So I'm playing the hits for sure right now. But just the bunt single, the really good at bat by Sejacy, and then that gets Newt Barr to the plate. And you're not always going to get rewarded with that. You're not always going to win that version of this game. I get that. But to have that kind of inning where everything worked out well, I really, really like that. And I just, those are the kind of moments that are winning moments for the team. Text message from the 573 says, great win for the Cardinals, great pitching as well. Now let's keep this thing going on the road to New York. Yeah, that's been one of the things for the Cardinals, is their inability to win games on the road. Now, it's still very early on in the season, and they haven't played a lot of road games, and the road games that they've played have been mostly horribly uncomfortable from a weather standpoint when they went and played those games in Boston and Pittsburgh. But the numbers are what the numbers are, and they are 1-5 so far on the road. So it is up to them to be able to play better on the road. They play better on the road, that starts to open some things up. They've got an 8-4 home record. Right now they lead the NL Central in home wins. With their 8 wins at home, the Brewers are 7-3 at home, and then nobody else in the division has won more than 6 games at home. That's the Reds. Cubs and Pirates have won 4 games at home. Obviously, teams have played a different number of games at home, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but the Cardinals have been really good at home. They've won twice as many of their games at home. Then you try to win your series at home, you try to go 500 on the road. That's the long-time equation to being able to have success. So, yeah, it's good to see what this team has done. Again, I just think they're entertaining. We've got a guest coming up in our next segment. So let me throw this out as a text question, and we'll try to, readdress it later in the program. If nothing else, just for my own personal edification, I'd like to see the answers to this. If you are somebody, and I can tell you, it is a very normal thing for me to receive a text message into the show, or to receive a message on our video chat, or if we're doing Gas House Gang or Red Bird Rush Hour, whatever it might be. It is a very common thing for me to see somebody send in a message that says, as long as Oliver Marmol is the manager of the Cardinals, I'm not stepping foot in Busch Stadium. As long as John Mozeliak is employed by the Cardinals, I'm not stepping foot in Busch Stadium. As long as the DeWitts own the team, I'm not stepping foot in Busch Stadium. I see that stuff all the time. And I always think that's kind of silly. Like, I'm not trying to be dismissive of people having their beliefs. And obviously, Cardinals fans have been unhappy with some things going on in the organization, and they've tried to send their message to the organization by not showing up to ball games quite as often. But I would be curious, and it's still really, really early. The sample size is incredibly small. But I think we can sit here and say that if the Cardinals keep playing baseball the way they're playing it right now, at the very least, they're a really entertaining bunch. Like they're playing an entertaining style of baseball, and there's some young guys that are fun to watch. If you are of that ilk, if you are somebody that has put your foot down and said, unless X happens, I'm not walking into Busch Stadium, has enough started to change yet where maybe you're going to soften that stance a little bit? Just wondering. Text in the... If you're somebody who's been going to games, or you don't have that belief, like, I'm not trying to be dismissive towards you, but I'm not interested right now in your thoughts on that. I'm really interested in people who have been very anti going to games. If the Cardinals have started to do something to crack away at that a little bit, even so early on in the season, again, not so much because of the wins and losses, but more because of the style of play, the aesthetics of this of the way things are going. So text in your answers to that. If you're in that group of people, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We'll try to revisit that maybe in the last segment of the show. But I'm just curious for myself, because I know how much I'm enjoying watching this team play. We'll take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk some Battle Hawks football with Chris Payton-Jones. He is a cornerback with the team. We'll find out how they're feeling coming off a tough one this past weekend. That's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are currently efforting Chris Payton-Jones. He is going to join us hopefully in the next moment or so. Cornerback with the Battlehawks. Battlehawks, tough one this past weekend. They lose to the D.C. Defenders over at the Dome, losing by a 27-15 score. They're going to get back at it on the road against Arlington this upcoming weekend. So if they don't play, I'm going to ask him about this. If they don't play in St. Louis, I have to think playing against Arlington on the road is probably the second best situation for them, because that's where they're stationed. If you don't know, I think most people are well aware of this, but the business model for the Battlehawks and the entire league is that they all work out basically in the same vicinity, and they have their league operations running out of Texas, and then they travel into the various cities for the games, but the entire league is running out of Texas. So this is they have home games in St. Louis, but they have to travel to their home games, and then they have the opportunity to kind of play where they don't have to travel as much when they play against Arlington on the road. So I would guess that this is a good opportunity for them, for sure, that they've got this coming up. And then the other announcement this past weekend, which was good news, the league championship game is once again going to be played in St. Louis. I'm repeating something that we all know, that St. Louis has been the absolute best market when it comes to supporting the league and supporting the team. The Battlehawks are a big deal in St. Louis. They are not as big of a deal, the various teams in their other markets. So the league, with the attendance and everything, once again giving the championship game to St. Louis. So that was great news. That was great to hear that they are doing that, and St. Louis deserves it. And, you know, you just hope that I think most people around here are hoping for the best for St. Louis, and it's good to have events like that. I think I mentioned this. I know I mentioned it on the Dave Glover show. I think I mentioned it on here. We did an event with the Cardinals where Bill DeWitt III spoke to us, and he mentioned the fact that there's something going through where they're trying to create an entertainment district in downtown St. Louis, and basically would stretch from like the Dome over to Busch Stadium, past Enterprise Center, up to Union Station, over to Energize Park. So it's not really a square, because the Dome is kind of the outlier a little bit. It's almost like the letter L sort of thing, but that there would be an entertainment district that would be built up in that area, and that there would be monies and revenues that are pointed in the direction of, you know, for security and things like that. I'd love that. I would absolutely love that. And I just, you know, I think it feels like we're at sort of a starting point again when it comes to what's going on in downtown St. Louis, a new mayor just being elected on promises of, you know, safety and things like that being part of it. And obviously downtown St. Louis is the front door to the entire St. Louis area. So that would be good for the Battlehawks as well. But the point is you know, we just got done with the Frozen Four at Enterprise Center, and the St. Louis Sports Commission does amazing, amazing work at bringing great events to our venues in downtown St. Louis. And now we're going to get the UFL championship game for a second time. And there's a lot more big events that are going to be coming up in the St. Louis area. There are certainly parts of downtown that you would like to see get cleaned up a little bit, just from, and not like, well, I guess physically actually cleaned up is part of it, but just, other things going on where maybe sometimes people don't feel completely safe, or you see some things that are a little wacky. I think sometimes we make more of it. This is the thing that I'm not trying to go down like a political or social path here, because that's not what this program is for, but just speaking on it, it's frustrating sometimes when, like, there's one group of people that want to tell you that St. Louis downtown, there's no problems whatsoever. There's no crime. There's no, you can walk around whenever. And it's just, it's a really good, safe downtown environment. And that's not entirely true. There, as somebody who is in downtown St. Louis every single day, I see stuff that is a little bit off. Then there's another group of people that will tell you, this is the worst place in the world. If you're walking downtown, you're going to get murdered. There's crime absolutely everywhere, yada, yada, yada. Well, that's not true either. So you've got like these two groups of people on either side, And I think a lot of them have agendas to one side or another. And neither side represents the truth of what's going on. Is it completely terrible? No. Are there things that can be better? Yes. Obviously there is. Crime is a part of that. And we'd like it to be better. Look, I've gotten my car broken into in our garage here at KMOX twice in the 2.5 years or however long I've been back here. So I am understanding of the crime issue and what it is. It's just, yeah, you know, that's where things are at. I'm guessing we're about 7 minutes late for this conversation, so we may not get Chris Payton-Jones onto the program today. I want to make sure I didn't mess up. Generally, they call us with them. I'm hoping that I wasn't supposed to call them, because if so, I really messed that up. I'm going to look back. No, I don't think that was the case. So we may not get him on, but we will definitely try to get him on at some point in the future. Battlehawks, again, they end up losing this past weekend to the DC Defenders by a 27-15 score, and they are going to match up against Arlington coming up this weekend. They're going to be on the road for that. The next time they are at home is going to be on April 26th when they match up against the Michigan Panthers. That's going to be at the Dome. Tickets are available at theufl.com. That's theufl.com. And don't forget about the challenge that was issued last week, where if the Battlehawks can get, I think the number was 40,000. If the Battlehawks can get 40,000 folks into the Dome, Travis Feeney, who joined us on the program last week, he said he would dye his hair blue and would keep it blue for the duration of the season. So that is that's something that is still out there. They got to draw 40,000. They've been a little bit, as good as the attendance has been, attendance has kind of taken a little bit of a step back here over this season. So they're trying to push attendance, obviously. And Travis Feeney said right here on Sports Open Line last week that if they can get a crowd of 40,000 people inside of the Dome, that they are going to, that he is going to make the decision to go ahead and dye his hair blue for the rest of the year. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We've got some more Blues talk to get to. Luke Horak is set to join us in just a moment or so, as we'll talk through just the accomplishment of what the Blues have done. I know that the postseason begins in just a few days for them. Like, I'm willing to look ahead to Winnipeg a little bit, but I'm still kind of at a place where my focus is just still on the reflecting of what has occurred, because, man, what a special run this team went on. And then in a must-win game, they have a dominating performance against Utah. That was great stuff. Great stuff all the way around. So we'll kind of put a bow on the regular season, start to look ahead a little bit to the postseason with Luke Horak coming up in just a few moments. Also, a programming reminder for you. We are going to have City Spotlight tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Jen Cease is going to be in for that, talking all things City SC. She's going to join us for a final segment of Sports Open Line to preview what's going on in that show tonight. So it's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. Luke Horak joins us next on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us today. Just a celebration of all things St. Louis Blues. I know they've still got work that they want to do, but you know what? Considering not just what has happened this year, but really what's happened in the last couple of years, where this went from a team that was kind of non-compelling, uninteresting, to be what they've been here, especially since the Four Nations tournament, man, it's pretty darn cool, and a lot of reasons to be excited about the team going in the postseason and then what's yet to come. Luke Horak does an amazing job covering the Blues for NHL.com and also the Hockey News. He's on Twitter at LCorak10. He joins us right now. Lou, thanks for taking the time with us today. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. What's going on?
Not much. Just now that it's happened, now that the Blues clinched a playoff spot, can you put into words how remarkable of a run this has been for this team?
Oh, it's amazing. It's It's got some similarities, and I know I was asked this morning by Ranji and Amy when I went on with them. Can you put any similarities between the Stanley Cup team and this one? And I told them that really the only thing that that's parallel or that stands out that both were able to achieve is, you know, setting the franchise record for winning streaks. But, you know, then I thought about it and, you know, it's the deficits they had to overcome as well. So I was a little bit remiss by not mentioning that to them as well. But, you know, that team in 2019 was dead last in January. And then obviously we know the end result of it, but this one, not quite in the dire straits, maybe that one was in, but it was pretty bleak. I mean, you're talking what, mid to late February coming out of the Four Nations break. And you had to make up what, 8 points just to catch up and be in a position to be in the second wild card with what, 25 games left. That is, it's, I don't want to say it's impossible because obviously it's happened now, but it was next to impossible. And it took, I mean, think about it. It took for them to go on a franchise record winning streak and to do it in game number, and they didn't do it until game number 82. That's mm-hmm. how difficult this was.
It is a very normal thing for teams to go on long winning streaks and then they lose for the first time and they go into a little bit of a lull. And I think that's what happened to the Blues. How impressive was it, though? And what is it, maybe not even how impressive, but what does it say about the team? That'd be the better question here. What does it say about the team that in a must-win situation last night for them to be able to fully control their own destiny, they lifted themselves up and they put together a really good effort? And just from Jump Street, I mean, that was a 4-0 game after one period.
Well, and to a man, they all, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Well, they all talked about just that very thing. You know, if you would have given us this chance to have a chance to clinch a playoff berth, we control our own destiny. They would, you know, back when they were on the outside looking in, they would have taken that any day. And they backed it up last night. I mean, that was as impressive of a start as I've seen. One of the, it may even top some of the outputs and performances that they had during that 12-game winning streak. And they had some pretty darn good performances in that streak. So they came out with a purpose. They wanted to play North hockey. They wanted to play physical. They wanted to be aggressive. They didn't give Utah. And Utah, listen, that team came in 4-0-1 mm-hmm. and scoring a lot of goals, too. And, you know, that was, I understand it was the second of a back-to-back for them. It was their final regular season game, third game in four nights. But they scored 5 in Dallas on Saturday and went in and pumped 7 on Nashville on Monday night. So this wasn't just an also-ran team that they beat. This was a team going into that game that was just 5 points. Yes, they were eliminated, but they were just 5 points behind the Blues. So out of the three teams that were fighting for these spots, the Blues had the toughest course to go here. Calgary was playing two games against teams, you know, granted they're teams in the playoffs, but Vegas had nothing to play for. LA's got nothing to play for tomorrow night. And Minnesota's game last night against the Ducks, they had nothing to play for. So to be able to do it in the fashion that they did in, yes, it was very impressive. And they put an emphatic stamp on it in that first period.
This doesn't really matter, but I'm going to ask nonetheless. I hate the fact that the NHL has a schedule where some teams are finishing their regular season on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. Should they do something where every team finishes within like a couple nights of each other?
Matt, that's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to a couple people about it at practice a couple days ago. I'll take it back even further for you. You know, the Colorado Avalanche finished their season on Sunday night. Their season wrapped up on Sunday night, and their opponent is going to be the Dallas Stars, are playing right now as we speak in Nashville. So, yes, advantage Colorado. They've had what now? 3 extra days of rest and preparation and to do whatever they have to do to get that series going. And my understanding, and it's not been officially announced yet, that's one of the series that's supposed to start on Saturday. So you tell me if it's a little bit unfair. I would say yes, and I agree. I mean, you should not have some teams playing game number 82 on a Sunday night while some teams have only played 78 or 79.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense to me. And I hope I'm not getting myself in any trouble here for being a league employee, but you know, it is what it is. And I can understand why teams would look at that and say, hey, why is this happening? This gives us an unfair advantage. I completely agree. If I'm the Dallas Stars, I'm looking at that going, what the heck? You know, this team's been off since Sunday, and we're having to wrap up our season on a Wednesday, and then we start our playoff series, which is going to be one of the better ones going in the first round on a Saturday. That's a tough turnaround. Yes, I agree with you. I think that needs to get rectified, and that's something that definitely needs to get addressed.
There's seven games tomorrow night. Just think if the Blues had to wait on the Flames playing tomorrow. The Flames play the final game in the NHL regular season is going to start tomorrow night at 8:30 when the Flames and Kings are going to match up, and we can just be thankful to the Lord that game does not impact the Blues anymore.
Well, you know what, Matt, to their defense on that one, I believe – if I'm not mistaken, we may want to double check.
Was that a reschedule from the fires in LA?
I think that was a reschedule from the fires in LA that did. Yes, it was Calgary that had a game in LA that got postponed because of the fires. So I believe that's the makeup. But yeah, I mean, to your
point, still six other games, and there weren't seven wildfires.
Right, and you know what? And in a situation like that, where nobody could have predicted, obviously, but can you imagine if you're the Blues having to, you just play game number 82 on a Tuesday night and your playoff, you don't know if your season ended or not. That's a tough thing to have to deal with. Yeah. And, but you know, I think that's why they went ahead and just put an emphatic stamp on, let's just get this over with and do this ourselves so we don't have to worry about it.
All right. So I'm not totally ready to move forward to Winnipeg. I'm still really just kind of basking in what this team has accomplished. But they're going to be playing Winnipeg before we know it, sounds like. Have you heard? I've heard some reports of Saturday and some reports of Sunday. Have you heard any more substantiated reports on when it's likely to start?
Not 100% confirmed, but Saturday sounds like the target date of what they're – I know there's some scheduling conflicts actually in both buildings that need to kind of get worked out here with the league. And I know the league doesn't like to release this stuff until they have all 16 of their postseason entrants in. And obviously they're waiting on the last Eastern Conference wild card, either going to be Montreal or it's going to be Columbus. And I know Montreal's playing right now. So it could be decided tonight, or this could go into tomorrow. I mean, it's a possibility. So, but Saturday is the early word that I'm hearing. Not confirmed yet, but that sounds like the likely target here.
If they play Saturday, they have to cancel legendary Canadian band Bachman Turner Overdrive, who are scheduled to play in that building on Saturday.
I think they'll be able to find a way. And if I'm not mistaken, I think isn't there a Nelly concert in Winnipeg here coming up too?
Yeah, I think that's on Sunday. Now that you say that, so
that would be that's quite ironic, isn't it?
What if they had to cancel Nelly to get the Blues in there?
I think you know what? Being a St. Louis guy, maybe he just wouldn't mind that aspect of it. Who knows? But they have to deal with this stuff, and it's also going to be something that they're going to have to deal with here. I believe there's
I think Brooks and Dunn and Cat Williams on Friday, Saturday, back to back.
Right. Yeah. So these are quirks that have to get dealt with under normal circumstances. And if I remember correctly, because you know, covering the Blues Winnipeg series back in 2019. I think that one was able to go off without a hitch. So I think they played every other day in that series, if I'm not mistaken. There may have been one instance there where there was 2 days off, but you may have a couple of instances in this series just because of building quirks where there's 2 days off in between games.
Winnipeg is really, really good. The Blues played them tough in the games. If you go look at the actual individual games, they were competitive, even though Winnipeg ended up winning the season series. Do you feel like the Blues have more than a puncher's chance in this series?
I do, and I know there's a lot of obviously the pundits out there think that you know, the Jets are the President's Trophy winning team and Central Division champions, and rightfully so. I mean, they've had a remarkable year, but you're right. I mean, look at the games that they've played against each other. The Blues went, you know, the Jets are one of the best home teams out there. The Blues went in there in December and beat them 4-1. And all the other games, and I know when they played about a week and a half ago, it was a 3-1 game. But to me, you know, that's a one goal game until the empty netter and the waning seconds of that game. And the Jets came in here and won two one goal games. And obviously the shootout, they tied that game in the last 30 seconds coming out of the Four Nations. So the Blues had that game in the bag, and they've played them very tough. I mean, these are two very similar teams in the styles that they like to play. It's just going to be, to me, the biggest question. It's kind of just like it was in 2019, which team is able to get to their game quicker is probably going to have the more success.
He is Luke Korek. I'm looking at the Canada Life Center calendar. I thought the Nelly concert was on Sunday. They're listing it as Friday. I don't know if it got moved up to Friday. What's going on? But they still have some things to work through there.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, it's sounding more and more like that this could be a Saturday start. Now, whether game two is going to be Monday or a Tuesday, again, it's a building. It could be a potential building conflict, just like there could be one here. So we'll see how this all plays out. We could see a schedule as early as tonight.
We'll see. I hope so, for sure. Hey, Luke, great stuff as always. We encourage people to read your work at NHL.com and also the hockey news. You're pulling double duty on KMOX today, and we'll probably be asking for you here a few times during the playoff run. So thank you for being so willing with your time.
You got it, buddy. Take care.
You bet. That's Luke Korek joining us. Great stuff from him, and appreciate him spending a few moments with us. Okay, so I don't know if it's been moved or not, but I'm looking at the Canada Life Center schedule. The Nelly concert. By the way, pretty good lineup for Nelly, Ja Rule, and Chingy, and Nelly is the headliner on that. That's good. Is Nelly big in Canada? Earlier, I didn't know if Bachman Turner Overdrive was Canadian. I now have learned that. I don't know if Nelly is big in Canada, but it's the Where the Party At tour. And Nelly, Ja Rule, Chingy going to be doing a show, and that's scheduled for Friday. And then Bachman Turner Overdrive still on the schedule for Saturday. So if they find a way for a Sunday start of the series, the wonderful people of Winnipeg can have one heck of a weekend going and seeing Nelly, Ja Rule, and Chingy on Friday, then being back at Canada Life Center on Saturday for Bachman Turner Overdrive, and they're back in Overdrive tour, which again will be in St. Louis in the summertime, and then they could see the hockey game on Sunday. But it's sounding like that's not going to happen, that the hockey game will probably take place on Saturday, and Bachman Turner Overdrive is going to get canceled, which was just going to be a Canadian national tragedy. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Jen Cease is going to join us and preview what's coming up on City Spotlight tonight. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up for Sports Open Line, but you know what? Don't go anywhere, because we are going to have City Spotlight coming up this evening for the 8 o'clock hour. Jen Cease is here. Hey, Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
Good evening. Good. How are you?
It is good to see you. It's good to have City Spotlight. It works out well, because a lot of times we have the replay of the Gas House Gang at 8 o'clock, but when there's day games for the Cardinals, there's no Gas House Gang, so here we are.
Oh,
we get City Spotlight.
I was wondering if I had haters because I, like, you know, took Gas House Gang's place, but now I don't feel bad.
No, you're not taking Gas House Gang's spot.
Unless you guys are on YouTube, we can find you anywhere.
Exactly, 100%. All right, so talked a little bit about City earlier on the program. We had Kevin Egan on.
Nice.
From he's studio
he's
host.
Fun. Yes,
he's a lot of fun.
He's a good time.
I spent a lot of time in our conversation talking about how he makes it through the whip around show without going to the bathroom.
Hey, you know, we had a speaker or somebody do 25 hours, you know, as a filibuster. So
that's true.
You know, he should be able to at least handle that, right?
Yeah, 6 hours of watching soccer. He basically said, you know, he doesn't drink a lot of water beforehand, but he doesn't feel like overly thirsty or anything at the end.
Honestly, though, I have a hard enough time just keeping track of the current game I'm looking at, City,
yes.
And then I do the scoreboard report. So I'm looking around the MLS too, but not like those guys and gals do. So kudos to them.
I walked in here and I asked John to put on MLB Network, which is currently 4 games. Now it's down to 2, but like up 4 games. I shouldn't have done that, because I can't look at a single one and know what's going on. Like, there's too much stuff. My brain doesn't work that way. However, City looked better this past weekend. They could have tied it if not for a controversial. Did you think offsides or not, first off?
No.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that at 8:45.
Rules of the game?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I'm not, I told George Gansner is a former FIFA and MLS referee. I don't want pros' response to this. I don't want your PC, oh, not sure, you know, can't be conclusive. I want you to be conclusive. And so I've challenged him for that. So I'm looking for a conclusive answer at 8:45.
Are you going to get it?
I'm gonna try. Yes.
Like I'm sure there's been conversations already. I don't want to steal the thunder, but
I will say there's been a pre-debate.
Okay.
And he's kind of on the same page, although he's gonna soft shoot a little bit. But I'm not gonna let him. Don't worry.
Okay.
I got it.
Don't let him. Yeah. You can you can get a strong opinion out of him. But still, they lost, and they're losing a lot. Like I'm not.
Yeah. No, it's a. Remember when we were complaining about ties last year?
Yeah, you'll take a point right now.
I'll take a point. And, you know, it makes you wonder. There are math people, right, that take time and they can crunch all the numbers and tell you when and how. I'm not the one, but at some point in time, it's going to become a statistical impossibility. I'm not sure when exactly that is.
You know, I asked Kevin that question because obviously the season is forever. It's such a long season.
What season? It's all year.
Yeah, essentially it is. They take a break, what they call the end of the season, before the next season starts. So there is still plenty of time. Like, they are not in trouble yet, but at some point they do get into trouble. And they got into trouble last year, and they played great after the transfer window.
That's right.
But it really didn't end up mattering because they were buried so much.
Yep.
Now, so many teams make it into the playoffs. There's still tons of time left, so they're not to that point yet, but all of a sudden, we're going to look at the calendar and we're going to look at the games left and said, okay, it's a little late if they get going now.
And the schedule doesn't get any easier.
No.
I mean, with respect, Vancouver's coming here and they just won 5-1 against Austin, who we lost to. Their Brian White scored 4 of those goals. So they're an attacking threat. They're on a tear right now, and LAFC's coming up. So it's not like the schedule gets any easier.
He scores 4 goals in one game. City has 5 goals all season. That's not great.
He's a great player.
He is. Okay. Still not great that's going on. All right. We got like 30 seconds left.
Yep.
What's going up on the show tonight other than our controversial rules of the game?
Yeah. So we've got some thoughts, of course, as we always do, from Coach Olaf Melberg. We'll talk to Dale Schilly about it. Timo Baumgartel is the player profile. Really excited for people to hear from him. Super interesting player. And of course, we'll end with laws of the game.
Okay. Very, very good. Are you a fan of Bachman Turner Overdrive?
What?
Yeah, just
no.
Go.
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know.
If you were Canadian,
what are you talking about?
Would you rather go see Bachman Turner Overdrive, or would you rather go see the Winnipeg Jets play?
Oh, Matt, I don't know.
Hey, that's been the theme of the show today.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
That
has been the theme of the show today.
I'm a soccer girl.
Okay, that's Jen C. She's got City Spotlight coming up next. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.